So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at dispensations. And up here I have a chart. We talked about each and every one: innocence, conscience, human government. And the word dispensation means household of rules. And in each and every dispensation, God had a different responsibility for man, a different form of a plan for each and every dispensation. And we're told each and every week, go and preach the gospel. Most every Christian would agree that is what the church is supposed to do. Most every Christian has been told that the word gospel means good news. But I don't think anybody ever asked what gospel, which gospel, what gospel are we talking about? If we have different dispensations and different gospels or different times, what are we talking about? If you look at Mark chapter 1, in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." So we have the good news here, the kingdom of God. Verse 15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So Jesus here is telling them to believe the gospel. What is he telling them to believe? What is the gospel? What's its message? I believe the Apostle Paul tells us very clear, and our gospel for today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 2 it says, "By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." When we declare the gospel message, and the most important thing that you can hear this morning is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is to atone for our sins, it's to atone for the sins of the world. And we can dive into that a lot deeper, but that is the gospel message for today: the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to do a little comparison today with the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the age of grace. And I do believe there's a difference. I do believe this is where Christendom can get confused. We get confused with the differences, and we try to mix prophecy and mystery together. Like I said, here in Mark chapter 1, it says that Jesus Christ preach the gospel of the kingdom. He was not proclaiming his death, burial, and resurrection here in Mark chapter 1. It says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The message of the gospel of the kingdom didn't have anything to do with Christ's death. It was a message concerning the kingdom that prophets told about in old scripture, in the old times. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. If you can get to Ezekiel chapter 37. And we talk a lot about the difference between prophecy and mystery. What the Apostle Paul received was a mystery that's a secret, and we'll dive more into that this morning. And what was prophesied and what Jesus Christ is talking about, you can see in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 22. He's talking to the nation of Israel. "And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall also, they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." The gospel Jesus proclaimed was at this time foretold by Ezekiel. It was foretold by others, and it was about to be fulfilled. All the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only thing they're talking about, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is now, here it is. There is nothing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was prophesied. It was told it was going to happen, but it was never told for salvation. If you'll jump over with me to, let's go to Matthew chapter 16. A couple of scriptures to prove in the gospel of the kingdom, in the dispensation of law, in the dispensation of the kingdom program is at hand. So it means it's being offered and the nation of Israel rejects it. But in this time period of Matthew chapter 16, let's look at verse 21. It says here, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. He must suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So here it is. He prophesies that he will be crucified. He will raise the third day. If you read verse 22, it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter and the 12 were believers. Peter and the 12 were following Jesus Christ. Peter and the 12 believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they never believed that Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary. It says it in verse 22. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. They don't believe it's going to happen. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. They had a different gospel. Look at, jump over with me to Luke chapter 18. Same exact thing, Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Again, prophets wrote this. It says, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Peter and the 12 believe it. Well, you can see in verse 34, and they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. If Peter and the 12 believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they would have been sitting at the tomb the day that he came back to life. There was nobody there because they were a part of a different dispensation. They were part of the kingdom program. The gospel of the kingdom is an amazing message, but it's not for us today. The entire word of God is written for us. It's not all written directly to us, and we need to pay attention to that. But that good news is for the nation of Israel. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom is not the same as the gospel of the grace of God. It's a totally different message. And there's a lot of things we can discuss in the kingdom. And as we talked about last week, the kingdom is part of law. And if you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to find salvation and try to find the gospel, you're going to be tying yourself back to law. You can jump over with me to Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Again, Jesus is speaking. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. It was based on law. It was based on what they had to do. Keeping the commandments of Moses was required to enter the kingdom of heaven. It was required to be greater than the scribes and Pharisees. But if you go over to Romans and look what the Apostle Paul says, look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It is no longer under the law. We are not tied to the law. And when we can begin to separate, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, we're mixing prophecy and mystery together, and there's two different programs. Genesis chapter 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was created for the nation of Israel. It will have an earthly kingdom set up. The heaven is created for the body of Christ. We will meet the Lord in the heavens. We will be there. We are seated with him in the heavenlies already. Just a few differences between, I want to take some time and look at some of the differences. And a lot of people push the gospel. A lot of people push, hey, we need to preach the gospel. I have nothing against that, but what are we preaching? A lot of people get tied on the Great Commission. Look at Mark chapter 16. We've got to be very careful when we, to understand scripture, but look at Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 15, this is what a lot of people use for the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Again, we're talking about the gospel. At this time, Jesus is preaching. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. At the time of Jesus speaking, at the time of the kingdom of heaven, it is a requirement to be water baptized for salvation. It is not today. We're in a different dispensation. We're in the age of grace. Drastically different. But a lot of people try to take portions of this scripture here and say, okay, baptism is a testimonial. Baptism is maybe needed. But if you take this word for word, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is for the nation of Israel. That is for the kingdom program. And a lot of people stop at verse 16. Nobody wants to read verse 17 and 18 because we're scared of it. We don't understand it. We don't know what to do with it until you rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 17 and 18 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say just the 12. It says these signs will follow them that believe. In the name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In the earthly program, in the earthly kingdom, the lion will lay down with the lamb. There will be no sickness. There will be no need for all this. But this is not for us today. And that is what we've got to understand and figure out. Jump back with me to Matthew chapter 3. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Again, John the Baptist here speaking. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, they are offered the kingdom of heaven. This is for the nation of Israel. And we'll look at that in a second too. Verse 3, for this is the saying that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. We talk about all the time between prophecy and mystery. The nation of Israel was prophesied. It is prophesied back in Isaiah. The age of grace is a secret revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Again, he's still preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is pushing the kingdom of heaven, and if the nation of Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ as Messiah, the nation of Israel would have the earthly kingdom. We can see that all the way up into Acts chapter 8, 37. So to be a believer in the Gospels, you had to follow the law. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the kingdom program, you had to follow the law. You had to repent and be baptized. You had to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Had nothing to do with his death, burial, and resurrection because Peter didn't even believe it was going to happen. It's a different program. It's a different time period. Jump over to Acts chapter 8, 37. Well, you can even see Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Again, they're still pushing water baptism. But even in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, this is the eunuch with Philip. Verse 34, it says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Again, he's preaching him Jesus. He's telling him about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. "And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ yet. Because this is part of the nation of Israel. This is part of the earthly kingdom. It's something totally different. All they had to do was believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And then you get to the Apostle Paul. You can start seeing a lot of differences change. Acts 20, verse 24. The Apostle Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So before, we're talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we get to the Apostle Paul, and he says the gospel of the grace of God. You can see in Romans chapter 11. There's so many verses to show, but the Apostle Paul was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal this message to the body of Christ. Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy." Again, we're talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was offered the kingdom. The nation of Israel said, "No, we don't want it. We reject Jesus Christ." They crucified him. They stoned Stephen. And then the age of grace comes in. But why was it? It was to provoke them to jealousy. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so all the world can be saved. Verse 12, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Romans 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul again says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." The Apostle Paul says it's my gospel. He's not being arrogant. He's not being high-minded. He's not being prideful. This is what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And it's because it was revealed to him, separate from the kingdom gospel. It is now the age of grace gospel. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." The nation of Israel, the earthly kingdom, was prophesied back in Isaiah. It was prophesied back in Ezekiel. When you come to the Apostle Paul, everything that was revealed to him was a mystery, was a secret. In Sunday school this morning, we talked about the rapture. You cannot find the rapture anywhere else in Scripture except where the Apostle Paul talks about it. It's not there because it was a secret revealed only to the Apostle Paul. Jump over with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We all have verse 8 memorized, and it's a great, wonderful verse. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What an amazing work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But when you jump down to verse 11, it says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ." Before, in the kingdom program, you had to become a Jew. If you wanted to be saved, you had to become a proselyte. In Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5, it talks about proselytes. It talks about Jews. There's no longer needed for that. But it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The Gentiles had no hope because they had to become a Jew. Doesn't mean they didn't have a chance at salvation, but for them to be saved, there was no Gentiles because they became a Jew to be saved. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So back then, we had to become a Jew. But now, because of the blood of Christ, we can have salvation. Look at Acts chapter 2. Trying to just show some differences. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, all they had to do was believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should be moved. I'm sorry, jump over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is what I wanted, sorry. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The nation of Israel was a prophetic program. It was prophesied from the beginning of the world. And when you come over to the Apostle Paul, as we just read in Romans 16, 25, what he received was a secret that was kept secret since the world began. So we have prophecy and we have mystery. If you want to learn how to divide the Word of God, most importantly in Scripture is between prophecy and mystery. The Apostle Paul was given something that was only revealed to him. You can go to Galatians chapter 2. We don't have time for it this morning. But him and Peter have a discussion. Him and Peter have a debate. And in the end, Peter says, I'm going to go to the nation of Israel. You go to the body of Christ. And they go their two separate ways. Because what he revealed to him was something so different. I don't know if Peter ever understood it. We saw in the nation of Israel, in the kingdom program, baptism is a requirement. Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. If they wanted salvation, it was required for baptism. Mark 16, we already read it, but it was a requirement. You can come over here to the Apostle Paul. It's not a requirement any longer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start with verse 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We are baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. The minute you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are baptized with the Holy Spirit of promise. There is no longer any need for water baptism or anything. We have to begin to understand that. We try to mix all these together. We have to begin to separate it. The kingdom, the nation of Israel, had to do with law. We read a few of those verses, but in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." There's a difference between law and grace. It's like mixing oil and water. You can't mix the two. You can't mix prophecy and mystery. You can't mix law and grace. You can't mix... Jump over with me real quick to Galatians chapter 2. Didn't think I'd go here, but we will. We have a few minutes. But in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is arguing or getting on to the Galatians. In verse 6, he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Whatever that gospel is, it's not Paul's gospel. He says, "My gospel, my gospel, my gospel." And here he says, "I can't believe you're so far removed already." Verse 7, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." That's just adding something to it. That's just twisting it a little bit. That's saying, hey, you have to give. You have to tithe. You have to be water baptized. You have to. There is no have to in the age of grace, besides believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says it right here. Verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." The Holy Spirit thought it was so important, he then repeats it again. Verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." If you preach any other gospel than Paul's gospel, he says, "My gospel." He calls it the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. He is not being prideful. It's what the Holy Spirit told him to write. But if we preach any other gospel, it says, let him be accursed. This proves that there's more than one gospel. And we're failing at life and we're not preaching Paul's gospel. Verse 11, it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." The Apostle Paul received something. It's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not given to him from Peter and the 12. It says it right there. Verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul was given this message. He was given the body of Christ. He was given the rapture. He was given that there is no longer Jew and Gentile. We are all one. He was given that we're seated in the heavenlies. This is what was revealed to him. Verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he was revealed something from the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not go talk to any other human because it says I did not confer with flesh and blood. "Neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Paul went out by himself, learned everything he could from the Lord Jesus Christ because it was a secret only revealed to him. And then in chapter 2, it talks about him and Peter getting together. Just in conclusion, if you read Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll try to wrap all this up. In Ephesians chapter 3, it talks about, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God," that's where we get the word. The word dispensation means household of rules, "which was given me to you word. How that by revelation may known unto me the mystery." Again, the Apostle Paul received a secret. He received the mystery. And we can go into detail of what that is. Like I said, we receive spiritual blessings. The nation of Israel receives earthly blessings. In the kingdom program, they have all the blessings of the earth. That's why they talk about the Beatitudes. The body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, are now one. We don't have to become a Jew to be saved. There's so many things inside the mystery. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Again, it talks about the grace of God again. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he uses that word unsearchable because you can't find it anywhere else except in Pauline epistles. Romans through Philemon, you can find the mystery. You can find the age of grace. You can find the body of Christ. You can find the rapture. But you can't find it in other portions of Scripture. Verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This is what our calling is. Our calling is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Paul's gospel message was entirely of Christ. He talks about my gospel. He talks about his gospel. We learned it from him. And again, as we learn to rightly divide, we need to understand Scripture, who it's written to, when it was written, how it's written. Because if we go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're going to be back into the law. We're going to be back into water baptism. We're going to be back into tithing. We're going to be back into, we are no longer under the law. We are now under grace. First Timothy 2:4, just in conclusion. He says here, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Most importantly is salvation. And to understand the gospel for today, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, there was multiple gospels in the Bible. Adam and Eve, their good news for them was to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That doesn't help us today. I don't think I've ever ate of that tree, but that doesn't help us today. That's not our gospel message for today. You have to put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no works, there's no baptism, there's no giving, there's no... We are under the age of grace today. We are under the dispensation of the age of grace. But he goes on here and to say, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You have to have salvation to begin to understand the Word of God. You can understand it. You can begin to learn from it. But you have to rightly divide the word of truth. When you go back to the kingdom of heaven is at hand and follow all things written in red. I know a lot of people that say all the time, hey, I want to follow what's written in red. I want to follow Jesus. Well, everything in Scripture should be read at that point. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, everything should be read. Yes, I understand what Jesus said on earth, but it's not more important than Genesis 1:1 or Revelation. But you have to understand who it's written to. The kingdom of heaven is just as important, and it will be in the future for the nation of Israel. But in the dispensation of the age of grace, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel for today. And I pray that we, each and every one of us, are out there preaching it and sharing it with the world. Let us close. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that we can understand it. That you have a program that is revealed for the nation of Israel, that you have a program for the body of Christ, that we are under the dispensation of the age of grace, and we just thank you that it's nothing that I can do in and of myself. You went to the cross, you reconciled the world unto yourself, that you've already paid for our sins, that it's all handled, but all I have to do is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'll have eternal life. I just thank you that you have done that for us and made it so easy for each and every one of us. If somebody here today doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, all they have to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe in the Word of God. Faith is taking God at his word and saying, I believe it. I believe what it says. You don't have to understand it forward and backwards and all of it. You have to say that you went to the cross and that you paid for my sins and you rose again the third day. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen.